Let's go around the NHL, brought to you by Crystal Glass. Are you putting off getting your windshield fixed? Don't. A cracked or improperly installed windshield can lead to serious injury in the event of an accident. Learn more at crystalglass.ca. The trade deadline is a week away. The San Jose Sharks got a jump on it earlier today when they acquired Nick Spaulding and Roman Polak from the Toronto Maple Leafs in exchange for a second rounder in 2017, a second rounder in 2018, and Rafi Torres, who will remain in the Sharks American League system, but his contract will be on the books of Toronto. Curtis Peschalka from the San Jose Mercury News joins us. Curtis, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm excellent. Torres was a guy who, well, A, couldn't stay healthy, and B, when he was, couldn't stay in the lineup, was getting suspended. And I know when they brought him back from this knee injury, like, do you think he'll be able to play again, or has knee injuries pretty much ruined him?
It's going to be a really tough road back for Rafi. I think he is fighting through it. He's doing all he can. I mean, the Sharks have tried to help him along as much as they can as far as getting him back on the ice with rehab, surgeries. You know, he had a surgery back in December to sort of try to strengthen the area, just to clean out some scar tissue. And he skated, off and on since then. He's played in a few games in the American League. It hasn't quite responded the way he has. And I think he's realistic about it. You know, he's 34. He's not a young kid anymore. He's played a lot of games, put a lot of miles on those legs. And so, he's realistic about it. He knows that this could be the end. He's going to try. He's going to keep trying to see if he can get back, to the NHL maybe at some point later in the season. But I think that's, for now, I think it's a pretty safe bet that he's probably played his last game in the league.
Now, looking at the trade, some analytics guys would say, what were the San Jose Sharks thinking? Now, there's more to the game than just analytics. It's one element for sure. Roman Polak, a right shot, physical defender who they obviously feel maybe can match up well against the LA Kings or the Anaheim Ducks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the main reason why the trade is made, is to try to help match them up a little bit better against the Kings and the Ducks, assuming they'll play one of them in the first round and then probably the other in the second round. So, you want to try to get a little bit bigger for those teams. Obviously, Roman, talking to some of the Blues players this morning, and they said he's probably, one of the most, if not the most physical player, and one of the most physical players they've been around. So, certainly a guy not afraid of contact, and a guy like Spaulding, obviously gives him a little more depth on that bottom six. Can kill penalties, not a huge scorer, but can score a little bit here and there, and a little bit more competition. A guy can he could take draws, and if he plays in that fourth line center role at some point, he could help out there too. So the Sharks, they don't have to give up anything, any prospects. They do have to part with a couple of high draft picks, and it's part of the cost of doing business, but they, from their standpoint, they're going to make a run at it this year, and with the core veterans they already have in place, and kind of see how it all shakes out.
Who is Polak going to play with?
He'll probably play in the third pair with Brendan Dillon. Dillon's hurt right now. He'll probably be back in time for Wednesday's game in Colorado. But he'll probably play there with Brendan Dillon for now. Dillon's a left-hand shot, so it kind of makes it an easy transition for him. It's and Dillon's another kind of big, heavy defenseman, or big physical defenseman too. So it makes for a pretty interesting combination. Of course, they're really high on the young defenseman they already have, Dylan DeBell. He's been pretty comfortable in his rookie season, so. So right now it looks like Dillon will be paired with Polak, and then maybe you sprinkle in DeMello once in a while on back-to-backs or certain times throughout the rest of the season.
They also feel, do they think he can help them on their penalty kill, which currently is 16th?
Yeah, they do. I mean, he's part of that. They already have a few guys that they've kind of come to rely on. It has gotten a little bit better over the course of the last two or three weeks with with Couture back and with Dana Zubris kind of in that role too, since he's been back from injury. So they've got a few guys in that rotation. I think that I feel that, you know, you add Pollock in there, maybe you take a little bit of the stress off some of the other big minute guys, you know, maybe like Brent Burns, for instance, who kills some penalty time. Maybe you can take a little bit of penalty kill time off his plate and maybe freshen him up for other things.
Curtis Pichalka joins us from the San Jose Mercury News. Are the Sharks done? Do you see them trying to add something else?
I think they might have maybe a backup goalie kind of on their wish list a little bit. Just a guy to, you know, in case anything happens to Jones, they could, a guy they can go to maybe with a little bit of NHL experience. Of course, they'd have to probably part ways with another player on their roster just to make it room, just to make it fit money-wise. But I think that might be one thing that they're looking to do. As far as, you know, maybe another big trade, I don't see it happening just because you know, exhausted all their other money at this point. So so I think they're going to do one more thing, maybe add up a backup goalie. But beyond that, I think they're pretty happy with what they have right now.
Now, what about the trade demands of Patrick Marleau? Very quietly, it asked for a trade early in the year, and that hasn't, you know, nothing's materialized from that. Do you think there's any chance he's moved between now and Monday?
I don't think now between now and Monday. I think more in the off season. That seems to be where things are headed with Patrick. I think right now, I think they want to, Doug wants to kind of keep this group together, make one run, and you know, see how it all plays out in the summertime. But I would really be surprised if anything happens with him between now and next Monday. Just because I think they like how he's playing right now. I think they like kind of that the three centermen they already have with him, Marleau on the second line, you've got Thornton and Pavelski at the top line, and Couture in the third line. So going to be a pretty good three-headed monster there as far as being down the middle. And I think they want to try to keep that together and kind of see how it all shakes out over the last 25 games here.
Curtis, one player who's really, you know, picked up his game at his age and playing exceptionally well, Joe Thornton for the San Jose Sharks, just continues to tick along. Obviously, there's a lot of people that, you know, until the Sharks have some playoff success, everybody will be kind of, well, ho-hum, it's regular season. But Thornton's game, you know, not that he was bad at the start of the season, but, man, he's been exceptional for the last 2.5 months for them.
Yeah. And, you know, the coaching staff will tell you, you know, he's all year he was able to create chances and it just wasn't going in for him earlier in the season. I think Joe, I don't think he ever lost faith. I think he always felt that, you know, he was gonna break through at some point. But still, I mean, the pace he's on right now, it's pretty ridiculous. It kind of reminds you of maybe what he's doing, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. So I think he's benefited from that depth too, having Couture back. You know, you've got to, if you're an opposing team, you got to think about your matchups and so once in a while, that top line is going to get matched up maybe against the team's second or third line, and that's probably plays into the Sharks' advantage there. So he's taking advantage of that. He's playing well. He's enthusiastic. I think he's gotten a little bit after last year with all the drama off the ice. He's put that behind him. I think he's got a fresh start, and he's loving it right now. He doesn't seem like he ever wants to stop playing.
The Anaheim Ducks have really picked up their game, and you know, they're moving in closer suddenly now, even to challenge the Los Angeles Kings, sitting only 2 points back. If you're the San Jose Sharks, who do they match up better against, the Ducks or the Kings?
Well, I think they match up a little bit better against the Kings, to be honest, especially considering maybe a little bit of the injury bug that's going around Los Angeles right now. I think the Ducks have really kind of started to figure things out. They've won 3 of 4 against the Sharks this year, whereas the Sharks and Kings have split their four games so far. So I'd have to say maybe I think they would match up a little bit against the Kings. Maybe, I don't know if they'd rather play them in the first round, but I think if you're going to pick one of the two, maybe that's the team you'd rather play against, just because you know, how you're playing right now, and maybe how LA's playing right now too.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of pick your poison, I guess, between the two, especially, you know, the Kings playoff experience is something I think if you're a San Jose, you'd probably lean, you know, maybe against going. Although you look and say, man, we had them down 3-0 a few years ago. We'd love an opportunity to go back at them.
Yeah, no kidding. I think that's definitely part of it, too. You'd love to atone for things maybe from a couple of years ago, sort of try to get things right. Because let's be honest, I mean, the Sharks win that series, maybe this whole sequence of events doesn't take place. Maybe Todd McClellan is still the coach. You don't know. I mean, everything was kind of set in place after that playoff loss as far as the team wanting to change things up, maybe shake things up a little bit, not going without a captain last year, kind of giving some young guys a chance to play, not re-signing certain veterans like Dan Boyle. All that was kind of set in motion after they lost that series. And so if they win that series, who knows, you know, what the franchise looks like now. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if the Sharks and Kings match up against each other, how much that emotion would play into it.
I was looking at Logan Couture's number, 9 points in his last 7 games. Of course, he had that awful injury, then came back in December, a little bit sooner than some people thought, and was okay. But are you starting to see the Logan Couture of last season recently?
Yeah, absolutely. The way he's kind of creating chances on the offensive end, the way he gets back on defense and the way he kills penalties, the power play, you're definitely seeing sort of that Couture of that maybe we saw last season or the season before. And he makes the players around him a little bit better too. I mean, he's on a line right now with, you know, it's Donskoy, and before Tommy Wingles got hurt, he's on with Wingles. Right now he's on with Melko Karlsson, and it makes for a pretty good line. It makes for a pretty good lineup when you've got Logan Couture as your third line center. I think it creates a lot of mismatches on as far as going against other teams.
So he's their third line center right now. What are they running as their top six lines? Or top two lines, excuse me.
Well, top line, you've got Hertl, Thornton, Pavelski. Second line, you've got Ward, Marlowe, and Matt Nieto. And then the third line would be Couture, Donskoy, and Melko Karlsson.
Now,
the fourth line.
Does Couture play on that line consistently, or does he get moved up in the top six a little bit?
He's been moved up. I mean, when they play against Florida last week, they couldn't create any they weren't getting anything going as far as offense goes, and so Pete DeBoer moved up Couture to the top line with Thornton, and Pavelski got the tying goal, and then eventually won it in the shootout. And tried the same thing against Carolina a day later, but just couldn't get anything going there as far as creating any offense. But he starts the game on the third line at least, and if things if they're struggling a little bit to get some offense going, he won't hesitate to move them up to that top line with Thornton and Pavelski for sure.
Appreciate the rundown, my man. Curtis, always good to catch up with you, and enjoy the stretch run.
You got it. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Curtis Peschelka from the San Jose Mercury News.